There's no old country preacher when I grew up. He used to preach a sermon. Said, "What you preaching on today?" He said, "Sin and why I'm against it." Come on, somebody. And sometimes you got to be more than just against something. You got to help them how to deal with it and how to get out of it and then how to keep from getting back into it. But today, basically, at times a little short, I'll keep the rest of it for next week. I'm going to kind of preach on sin and why I'm against it today. And so I'm going to preach on the why part and a little bit at the end. But today we're talking about be transformed by renewing your mind. Be transformed by renewing. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Do not be conformed to this world." Two options. One is to be conformed, one is to be transformed. You're either being conformed or you're being transformed. You're either being conformed to this world or you're being transformed to the image of the Lord. Do not be conformed to this what? To this, remember that word, world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. There is, when you are not renewing your mind, you are being conformed to this world. You need to remember that word, world. Everybody say world one more time. World. Do not be conformed, because that is what you're being conformed into. You're not being conformed to lots of different things. You're being conformed. All of you are being conformed. All of us are being conformed. If we're not renewing our mind, we're being conformed into the image of this world. So I want to talk to you. And it's called Be Transformed by the Renewal of Your Mind. But the subtitle today is, got my video clip. The subtitle today is, you didn't build that. Somebody else built that. Go ahead and do my clip for me, would you?
You got a business. That you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Come on, one more time.
If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
All right. The subtitle today is, you got a mindset, you didn't think that yourself. Somebody else built that for you. So we're gonna pray. Father, we love you today. Open our hearts, our minds in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. All right. When the devil plays a mind game with you, do not believe the prophecy of the devil. Usually the devil tells you what's going to happen. Whatever he tells you is going to happen, the opposite happens. They did a study one time of the major predictions by the psychics, and they found out that 98% of the time they were wrong. So if you ever get a mind, if the devil tells you something, you got to learn something that literally, it's literally the opposite. One time I remember there was a psychic out on Airline Highway. If you know where, right before you hit, if you go out of Airline, right before you get to the new connection, I forgot, you pass Earl K. Long Hospital, and there's a psychic on the left-hand side, palm reader on the left-hand side. And they had a car lot. Have you ever seen that? They had a car lot in front of the palm reader. And I remember we were going out there, Gerald Vint and I, we were going up to ride bikes one time, dirt bikes. And Briggs, his son, at that time, I think he was about 15 years old. And I remember we rode by there. Briggs looked at us, "You see that over there?" I said, "What is it?" Briggs said, "Well, that's where that palm reader, every time, the reason she's got so many cars is because when you go in there and get your palm read, she tells you you're going to be in an accident. You ought to sell her your car." Come on, somebody. That's how she sells cars. I thought that was funny. So usually they work circumstances to their advantage. On and on. There's a reason for everything. When you begin to, the devil plays mind games with us. You've got to understand he's after your mind. That's what he attacks, is your mind. Luke says this. Jesus talked to, he said, "Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that you're what?" What he's after is to destroy your faith. What he's after is to put thoughts in your mind where it destroys your faith in God. He puts thoughts in your mind, it destroys your faith in your husband, faith in your wife, faith in your church, faith in your leaders. He puts thoughts in your mind to destroy your faith in God. Faith in everything around you. He tells you that so your husband's working late because he's seeing somebody. Your wife is attracted because she talked to somebody. Your church is doing this because you heard that. And on and on and on. And you've got to realize what the devil is after is to destroy your faith. Jesus told Peter that. He said, he's after your faith, but I pray that your faith would not fail. Now, I want you to see this because our sermon series is called Renewing Your Mind. I have a reason of being stuttering because I'm a granddad now. Come on, somebody. Grandfather stutter. So we're talking about renewal of your mind. And at the very beginning, you know, there's an old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And the devil has used the same old from the beginning of time until now because it works. Because what worked in the beginning still works now. What worked against Adam and Eve still works against us. Don't look so sanctimonious thinking, if I was in the garden, I never would have given time to that snake. Come on, somebody. Because what worked then works now. The same temptation, the same attack against your mind was the way he attacked Eve's mind. In fact, look what Paul wrote. He said, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I betrothed you to one husband so that to Christ I might present you a pure virgin. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your what? So your minds be led astray from the simplicity and purity. That's two great words right there. How many know it's okay to be simple-minded? Look at somebody and say, you fall right into that. You are at home here. It doesn't mean to be simple-minded. It means in simplicity. God's way is not some dark, deep secret you need to learn. It is simple. It is simplicity. There is simplicity in following Jesus. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to follow Jesus. You don't have to be able to read Greek to follow Jesus. You just need a heart that you're into simplicity and you're into purity. Those two things. Paul said, I am afraid that Satan has come against you like he did Eve. And the same way he came against Eve's mind, he's coming against your mind to deceive you, to lead you from the simplicity and the purity of devotion to Christ. I'm afraid as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds also. So we're talking about renewing your mind. We're talking about why the devil comes, and he comes with thoughts. He comes against your mind. And the same way he deceived Eve's mind is the same way he wants to deceive your mind. Look what it says in Genesis. It says, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed has God, everybody say, has God said. What he did was this. He planted a thought in her mind. You know, I believe all the animals spoke in the beginning. That's why when Balaam talked to his donkey, wasn't freaking out completely. But animals, I believe all the animals spoke. And I believe in the millennial kingdom, all the animals are going to speak again. Fido will talk to you. Come on, somebody. It'd be great to have a dog can talk to you. Bring me my food. You know, it's a great time you're going to have. But what happened was the serpent came and began to talk to Eve. And what he did was he spoke to her and said something. When you say something, it enters your ears and enters into your mind. That is where the mind game began with Eve. Paul said, I'm afraid the devil is attacking you the same way he attacked Eve. Well, how did he attack Eve? Well, Paul said, your mind. He attacked her through her mind. Here's how he's doing it. He says, indeed, has God really said this and this is wrong? Has God really said that this lifestyle, that way of, is God really said this is wrong? And begins to plant the seed of doubt in her heart to destroy her faith in God, to destroy the belief that God was right, that God, it really, what God has said. And it's just a question right now. It's just a question. It's not a bold face. You know God don't know nothing. He says, hath God really said? And begins this. The problem with making a justification in your mind that you can only go, you're only going to allow this much. It's a downhill slide. And when you get to A, you're just sliding by A on to B, C, and the rest of the alphabet. Because sin always takes you on a downhill slide that you think you can just stop anytime you want, but you just go on right through till Z hits you in the face. Because the devil begins to say, hath God really said? It was a thought. It was a reasoning. It was a question that entered her mind. And had she stopped it right there, human history might have been different. Here's what her response was correct. She said, from the fruit of the trees, garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree, which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, everybody say, God has said. God said, don't eat of it. God said, don't. If she would have closed the book right there, human history would have been different. But she did not. She's listening. If she'd only stopped it right there. And verse 4 says this. The serpent then said to the woman, you surely will not die. That is not really wrong. That's really, I know your preacher said that, but that's really not wrong. Because remember this, she didn't hear this from God herself. She heard it from Adam. When God said it to Adam. As far as we can tell, she never got it directly from God. She got it from Adam. You need to get a word for yourself so that nobody can take it from you. You've heard it from God and you know it in your knower. And doesn't matter what the world says or the devil says or begins to question or throw doubts in your mind. You'll say, I don't care. God said this. So what happens in your mind, she says, well, God said, hearing this secondhand from Adam, God said, we can't eat from there. And instead of hitting the tennis, you know, I'll call this mental tennis with the devil. If you play mental tennis with the devil, he says something, you just lob it back to him. He lobs it back to you. You ever seen those tennis players? All they do, they sit back there waiting for you to make the mistake. They just hit it right back in the middle of the court, right back in the middle. And then you go for the line and you hit it out of bounds. What happens is this, the devil, if you keep playing tennis with him, he will win. You just need the Holy Ghost forehand, knock the thing out of the park, and go on and take a shower. Come on, somebody. Stop playing mental tennis with the devil. Hath God, you know, God said, oh, you shall surely not die. Just lobs it back to her. Notice what else happens. God knows the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open. And you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. She hit it back to him and the devil just hit it right back. Listen, you got to do this. When the devil comes to you and throws a thought in your mind, you need to shut that thing down. When God, listen, I've told guys this, you need to stop looking at women the second time. I've always said, God is not going to kill all the good-looking people so you can live holy. It's not the first look, it's the second look that gets you. I told guys, you need to learn how to bounce your, whoa, you got to bounce your eyes. You got to get this philosophy. This is Jethro Bodine philosophy. I ain't looking because I'm already tooken. Come on, somebody. So you come to a place in your life where you let it deal with your life. You understand you don't let those thoughts come in your brain. And Genesis 3, she listens. And I want you to notice what happens here. Notice this. The woman saw. She listened and entertained in her mind. She's being deceived in her mind because she's not renewed her mind with the Word of God. She heard what God said. She didn't have it herself. She heard what God said. Now she's listening to the thoughts of the devil. And her mind is being deceived because it's not been renewed. It's about to be conformed to this world. Her mind is about to be conformed to this world. Rather than being transformed by the renewing of your mind, she's going to be conformed to this world system. And here's how it worked. Watch this. The woman saw, everybody say saw. She saw that the tree, three things. She saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight to the eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took from its fruit, ate, and she also gave her hubby one. Come on, somebody. Now, three things. Let me get three things she did. Three things. The first one was, she saw that the food, the tree was good for food. That's the lust of your flesh. Good for food. Man. And that's your passion of your life. Here is the world. Here is being conformed. She had the lust of the flesh, which was passion. She saw the tree was good for food. And then secondly, it says, she saw that it was a delight to her eyes. And that is possession. She saw that it was the lust of the eyes. She saw that it was a delight to the eyes. That is That is your possessions. Everything you see, your possessions. And the third thing was, she saw that it was good to make one wise. That's your position or prestige. That is where you come. So it was the lust. It was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life got her. That was being. That's what worldliness is. It's not going to a movie or doing this or not drinking or doing this or not or. Worldliness is when you are conformed to the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of life. She saw that it was good for food. She saw it was delight to the eyes, and she saw that it was good to make one wise. That is the tactic and the MO of the devil. He's never changed. He'll attack you the same way he attacked her. He's never, why fix it if it ain't broke? It works on everybody. It's worked from the beginning of creation. It works in 2012 on those three things, the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life. Those three things is what the world is made up of. So he brought it into being, and he deceived her into doing it. And that was her justification. And listen, when Jesus came on the scene, guess what the devil did? The devil said, I think I'll attack him the same way I attacked the first Adam. The first Adam fell that way, or the first Eve. I'll attack him the same way I attacked the first humans. I'll attack him the same way. And look what it says in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus was brought into this. It says, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say full of the Holy Spirit. How many know this is going to be a good story already when you read that right there? Full of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be teaching that in the junior high about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness. 40 days being tempted. Everybody say tempted. Let me show you how he tempts him. He attempts him the same way he attempt Eve with her mind, and the same way he's going to attempt you, the lust of the flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life. And it says he was hungry, he had nothing, he became hungry. He hadn't 40 days eaten. And the devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to do what? Lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Notice the next one. Jesus said, everybody say it's written. It's written, man shall not live on their passions alone. And then he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Number two, the lust of the eyes. He takes him to Rome and shows him the majesty of the Roman Empire. That tells me if the devil was able to give that to him, guess who ruled the Roman Empire behind the scenes? Showed him the kingdoms of the world. Showed him Rome. Showed him all the countries they had gotten, and showed him the glories of it all. His eyes are taking it all in. He's seeing all of this, and he thinks this could be mine. It's possessions. It could be mine. Here's the second temptation. Same way he did Eve. He's seeing all of this is delight to the eyes. Let me tell you, it was a delight to the eyes. The same way it was for Eve, it was for Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. The devil said, I'll give you all this for a domain and its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, it'll be yours. He answered, written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship. But the last time, he led him to Jerusalem. He said, put him on the high pinnacle. He said, won't you jump down? Do a trick. Do something that'll really show everybody who you are. Won't you do something? It'll put the crown on your head. It'll make you a somebody. Jump off, and the angels will grab you, and you won't even bruise your heel against. It'll be fantastic. Everybody say pride. Here is the pride of life being tempted. And I like what Jesus said to him. He says, written, he'll give a command to guard you. What Jesus, on their hands, he'll bear you up. Look at the next verse, verse 12. And Jesus said, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Everybody say the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. If you are not renewing your mind, you're being conformed to the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life. The world system consists of those three things. The lust. 1 John 2 says it very plainly. He sums up what we just said. Do not love the world, be conformed to this world or be transformed. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, notice this, he sums it up. The lust, come on, say it with me. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. That is the attack of the devil. It's always been. You get a frog. We grew up, we used to go frog gigging. If you ever caught a frog live and you took a frog and you put a pot of water on the stove and you turn that thing on high and you waited, that water's boiling, you throw that frog in, guess what happens? But if you take a pot of cold water, put that frog in it, put it on there, put it on low, guess what happens? About 15 minutes, turn it on medium. About 15 minutes, turn it on medium high. And about an hour, turn it on high. Guess what happens? You can eat frog. You can have frog legs for supper. Come on, somebody. And you know what happens in your life? Just a little mental tennis with the devil. He'll throw this thought in. Well, you know what's wrong with homosexuality? You got good friends at school and you got this. What's wrong with a little bit of this and a little bit of that? What's wrong with a little flirtation? You know, it gets business. It greases the wheels. It makes, you know, that when you get on that downhill slide, and what happens is you think you can stop, but you can't. Worldliness is those three things. And the Bible says God so loved the world. There's a number of words for world. One of them means the people. God loved the people of the world. Another one means the trees and the song. You know, how many likes the old song, It's a Beautiful World? You like that song? There's nothing wrong with that song because it is a beautiful world the Lord has made. But with the word that's used here, cosmos, it has to do with the world order. The Bible says the evil one controls the world order. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things is what the world, and when it says, do not love the world, it doesn't mean people. God loves people. It doesn't mean don't love nature. God loves nature. God made all these animals. He loves nature. He loves it all. But don't love the world system. Do not fall in love. Don't be conformed to the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of your life. Don't be conformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let it begin to come in you where you're changed day in, day out. Things are changed. Do not love the world. You know, Demas, one of the saddest things when Paul wrote Timothy, and they had been together with a number of other young men, and Paul had been discipling them, and they'd been on fire for God, and they'd seen miracles after miracles under the ministry of Paul. And Paul had left them all in different cities and gave them churches and raised up churches and left them, and he left Timothy at a place. And Paul's in prison now, and he's writing Timothy, he's about to tell Timothy about one of his buddies and what happened to him. And Paul wrote, says, Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this what? Having loved the lust of the flesh. Having loved the lust of the eyes. Having loved the pride of life. Has left me and gone to Thessalonica. Demas, having loved this present world system. Fail, whatever, when did it start? What happened in Demas's life that he let that first crack open thinking it's no big deal. And I'm just watching this. I'm just reading this. I'm just, letting that person, do this or do that. No big deal. And the table and the mental tennis began. And when you begin to softly hit the mental tennis ball back to the devil, instead of renewing your mind and letting those thoughts and those things come in, before you know it, you're the frog in the kettle that's been boiled and you don't even know how you got there. But at the beginning, you think, I never do that. I never kill nobody. There's a lot of murderers today in prison. At some point in their life, they would say, I will never murder somebody. But hatred and one thing after another led to the next step, to the next step. Do not be, he said, Paul wrote Timothy, he said, hey, God has Demas rather has left me and forsaken me. Now let me say this. Jesus, go ahead, the next verse, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world. But Matthew 26 says this. I want you to see this with me. I'm sorry, go to Luke. Let me show them Luke 4 first. Go to Luke 4. I'm making them jump around. The devil had finished everybody say every. When the devil had finished what? Every. That tells me, you know, when the devil was in the, you know, he showed him the things. He said, make the bread, make the stones into bread, showed him the kingdom of the world, and then said, jump off and show you're really somebody, you know, pride of life. When he did those three things, the Bible says, when the devil then had finished every, everybody say every. See, I used to think maybe there's a lot more that they just didn't tell everything, the devil. And then I thought, no, that's the world. That encompasses all the temptations we're going to face in life. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Those three things encompass every temptation. Everything that attacks your mind. Everything that will tear it down. And so the Bible says when he left him until what? Forever or what? Did he leave him forever? He came back again. And guess what he does? The devil even ain't broke. Don't fix it. He comes back and he is going to tempt him. Let me tell you something. Just because you whipped the devil once doesn't mean he's not coming back your way. He'll come back. You say, well, I'll never do that. And you think, I whipped that. I'm good. And you think he'll never be tempted with that again. You will be tempted again at an opportune time. You will be tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of your eyes, and the pride of life. You will be tried again. The devil will come again when he had opportune time. And I thought an amazing thing I hadn't thought of before. Look what it says. Next verse. Jesus said this. He said, the evil one cometh. I'll not speak much more with you toward the end of his life. For the ruler of this world is doing what? He's coming again. The ruler of this world has been attacking me long, but he's coming again. I'm not going to talk much. He's coming again, and he has nothing in me. There's no world system in me. There's no lust of the flesh. There's no lust of the eyes, and there's no pride of life in me. I'm not given in to this world system. I will. There's no hook in me he can hook. He's tried it back years ago. It didn't work, but he's coming again to try me again. And I thought, when did he try him again? And then it dawned on me. You remember the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember how many times was he tempted? You remember, look at what he says. He says, Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. He says, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, began to pray. And he said, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went beyond him, his face, and prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I, but as you will. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He says, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? And he said, keep watching, praying that you may not enter into what? Why did he say that? Because he was in temptation again. And look what it says. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he left them again. And he went and prayed a what? Three times. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. He beat him again. Come on, somebody. He beat him again. He came, he said, the ruler of this world's coming one more time after me. His is the hour of darkness. He said, you know what? Adam lost it in a garden, and Jesus won it back in a garden. Come on, somebody. He said, I broke the back of the devil. I have defeated him. He's coming one more time at me, but he has nothing in me. There's no lust of the flesh. There's no lust of the eyes. And there's no passion wrongly. There's no possessions I'm worried about, and there's no position I'm worried about. He said, listen, I've humbled myself. I've gone down to the bottom. I've laid it all down, on and on and on. I'm going to tell you, let me just give you this to end up. There, you have to understand this. When Jesus, the lust of the flesh has to do with this. You have legitimate needs that God is going to fill. Young people, you have sexual desires. God will fulfill that. But he'll do it in the context of a marriage. And that is how God provides that. The problem with us is, the devil convinces us that we can have legitimate needs, but we fulfill them in wrong ways. And we begin to think it's okay because the need is legitimate. It's like being hungry, then it's okay to steal. Or your bank account is low. You need money, so it's okay to steal. It's okay to grab money. It's okay to get food. It's like at work, and this justification comes in your brain. You know, I need this, and you know, the company won't miss it, and so I'll just take this and go sell it. I used to work for the state of Louisiana, and we worked at a highway department. I remember they finally caught one of the mechanics. He had literally stole parts enough to build an entire truck at his house. Come on, somebody. He stole them little by little and built an entire truck at his house. He'd order parts. He said, okay, what next one I need? It took him about a year, but he built him an entire truck. They caught him. And you got to get this, but he was justifying, and things that are justified, why you can do this, why you can say this about somebody, why you can do the next thing. And so, let me this, what lust, the first one is the lust of the flesh. What legitimate need is the devil trying to get you to fulfill wrong? Most people get off the marital path, not because of sexual desires, but because of ego needs. Ego needs. Somebody tells you you're still pretty. Somebody tells you you're still handsome. Somebody tells you you're still this and you're interesting and you're funny and you're and all that kind of stuff. Listen, legitimate needs fulfilled in the wrong way. The second one was the lust of the eyes, possessions. Let me tell you something. When you watch a commercial, they are designed to make you lust after whatever they're showing you. They can make you lust after a bar of soap. Come on, somebody. I need that bar of soap. Is that right? They can make you lust after turnips. I need them turnips. I mean, they can sell turnips on a turnip truck. I mean, they know how to make you lust after. Let me tell you something. How many know you can run up as much debt as you want today? They sent my dog a credit card application. I'm telling you. You can get a credit card and you can go for it and you can spend. Your little beady eyes can't see anything more. How many know one of the best things to do is go out without your wallet and without your credit cards? I went to Haiti. I just took cash money with me. I didn't take a credit card, bill phone, because we knew the hurricane was coming. And I didn't know if we'd be like Wizard of Oz and Jack and I'd be wake up in some other, you know, in some other country. And so I was trying to come back and I was trying to rent a car. How many know they will not rent you a car without a credit card? That's the stupidest thing ever. I didn't take a phone. I didn't take a cell phone. I took nothing but one little backpack with me and some $100 bills. And I'm going to tell you, you ever been in an airport without a... Can I borrow your phone? Who are you, you bum? Go out and get your own deal. Everything your beady little eyes sees. And then the last thing is the pride of life. You got to get this. Musicians, come on back up. One of the things that Kenny spoke this morning, you need to realize, is the word of God. Jesus, when he was tempted in all those three areas, he did exactly what Eve started to. Eve said, God has said. And then Eve played mental tennis. But Jesus just pow, pow, pow. One time we went to England and we were over in the Westminster Abbey area of London. And I remember I read a little article one time that fascinated me because I liked music. And it was a deal with the musicians. One time, and many years ago, back in the 1800s, they used to have a lot of errand boys. And errand boys, and I, one of the things I love to do, if you ever been around me much, I love to whistle. I just whistle all the time. I don't remember, I think my dad whistled, and so I just love to whistle. I whistle in the office. They know when I'm coming in. They know where I am because they hear me whistling, you know, about it. I just love to whistle. And the errand boys in that part of London loved to whistle as they were running or on their bike. They were going somewhere to deliver packages and for businesses. Instead of cars, they had the errand boys that would take notes or money or packages or deliver groceries or whatever. And they loved the whistle. It said, I remember reading the article, it said they loved to whistle. And there was a musician's guild in that part. And the musician guild got absolutely irate with the errand boys because all of the errand boys whistled off tune. And they couldn't figure out why, because when we went in some other part of London, the boys were whistling fine. But when in that part, they would whistle, but they would whistle off tune. They'd be whistling some, you know, song of that day. It'd be whistling off tune until they finally realized it was the bells of Westminster Abbey. The bells had something had happened to them, and they had either cracked or coming up, and they were off key. The bells were off key. So when the bells ring, the bells were ringing off key. And they discovered that all these errand boys were listening to these bells ring all the time without knowing it was affecting them. And when they whistled, they were whistling off tune. And they didn't realize what they were listening to was affecting their life. And what we don't realize a lot of times is what we watch. TV, no big deal. Movie, no big deal. Radio, music, no big deal. Lady Gaga, no big deal. And so we don't realize what we listen to. Because after a while, you're going to be whistling like me. You may be not literally whistling, but you're going to be whistling with your life. And your life's going to be off tune. And you got affected by, you didn't even know it was affecting. You did not even know it was affecting your life. That's why when Jesus spoke, he said, see what happens is, when he heard the wrong whistle, he knew the right whistle. Oh, what you're saying, oh no, that whistle's off. Yeah, you're quoting the word, but the tune's off key. Here's the right tune. Here's the right pitch. And he knew, and what happens in life is when you hear this stuff, it may sound right and lovely and all that. But then he said, but something's wrong about this. Something's off key about this. And what you do is you whistle the right. Listen, the word of God is pitch perfect. I cannot harmonize. I just have tried with all my life. I cannot harmonize. I drive Jasmine to, I think if Jasmine were ever to go to hell, it would be me there singing harmony. That would be her hell for the rest of her entire life. And she's not going to hell. But she's not, I think in heaven one of my gifts is going to be to sing harmony. I'm going to be the leader of the harmony group in heaven. God will give me special anointing. But right now I can't do it. I don't know where I was going with that. But I cannot harmonize. But when you do that, you need to listen. The Word of God is perfect pitch. And when you get the Word of God in you, it does something inside of you. We'll talk about that next week, but it does something inside of you. Everybody stand up. Let's end up this morning with this song called Thy Word. And we got a little chorus I want you to listen, because some of you have gotten off track. Some of you have gotten off track and got a little bit lost. And you don't know why. Let me tell you why. Because you've been listening to the off pitch bells of this world. And you've bought into this world system, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You bought into it. You've been conformed. You've been conformed. And what the Word of God does in the morning, it just changes you. When you get up early, you stay up late, and you feed on the Word of God, it will change you, and you'll begin to whistle correctly. Come on, let's sing that song. Lift your hands. You need the Lord to change your life and get back with the Word of God. Go ahead and sing it. Come on, guys.
Oh, Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, Thy Word,
come on,
is a light unto my feet and a light,
come on,
unto my path. When I feel afraid and I think I've lost my way,
come on,
nothing will I fear.
Come on.
Oh, as long as you are near. Please be near me together.
Come on, say Thy Word.
Oh, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Come on, sing it.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Sing the verse again. When I am.
When I feel afraid.
Come on.
And I think I've lost my way. As long as you are near,
come on,
be
with
me to the end.
Come on, say Thy Word.
Oh, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my. lamp unto my feet and a light unto my
life. Sing it one more time. When I am afraid, come on, when I am afraid.
Oh, when I am afraid, when I think I've lost my way, you're still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear,
yeah, Lord,
as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end.
Everybody, thy word.
Oh, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto mine.
One last time, thy word.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto mine.
Give him a great clap offering today, would you, with him? Close your eyes. We're going to dismiss. Some of you, you kind of woke up and you think, I'm lost. I feel lost. You know, I've learned this in life. Almost all of us at some point in our lives, we feel a little lost. And we realize that we've gotten away from the Word. The Word this morning was, some of you gotten away from the Word. So you got away from your light. You got away from that which directs your life. And you wake up and you're a little scared and you're afraid. And the part of it is, you're not just leading yourself, you're leading many others. And you need to get back. Let me tell you, do this. Just lock yourself back up with God for an hour every day. Just lock yourself. You may have 30 minutes, whatever it is. You get away with God. Get His Word and let His Word become the light to your path again. It will guide you. And you'll be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, not conformed to this world. You'll be changed. It'll make a difference in you, and you'll know the right from wrong. You'll hear a voice behind you that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. God will speak a word for you. He'll know what it is. You know, one of the greatest things that happened to me was, listen to this, many, many, many years ago, I think before we had kids, I remember I had a speaker come here and I was going to quit. I was leaving the church. I was tired. You guys had been mean to me, and so I was going to leave. And so I remember he came up and he said, the Lord has a word for you. In the middle of our service, he said, Ken Summerall, he was the president of a Bible college. He said, the Lord says to you, if you will stay, you have said in your heart, you will leave this place. I mean, said it openly to everybody. But the Lord says, if you will stay, you'll see your children and your grandchildren in this place. Guess what I'm going to see in this place next week? My grandchild. Come on, somebody. You know why? Because He is faithful to His Word. When you hear His Word, He's faithful to His Word. He will do what He said He will do. Everybody say amen one more time. Give Him a good clap offering. God bless you. Hug somebody before you go. We'll see you this Wednesday night.